can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Good. Am I too clippy? Am I too loud? How about now? Can you still hear me?
You're great. Perfect.
All right. Well, there you go. New setup officially completed.
We did it.
Level up.
It's Christmas in July. It's not even July anymore. It's August.
Hello, Linda.
Hi, Andy.
Oh, where are you? Where are you right now? Where do we catch you on this particular week?
I'm in Boston.
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 And then you're going to Boulder after Boston?
I already went to Boulder. That was last week.
Dag, dude.
I know. I'm all over the place.
You've traveled so much and seen so many things.
I know, and tomorrow I'm going to Minneapolis.
Wow, this is quite a couple weeks for you then.
It is. It's going to be intense.
Are you glad to be doing this traveling? Do you feel free and unencumbered, or do you feel like you wish you were back home in your weird toilet shower?
I kind of wish I was in my weird toilet shower, but I also kind of, I don't know, Andy, it's, now that I've been working in a remote company for a little while, it genuinely is just kind of starting to feel the same everywhere I go. Like, I think that when you're, especially now that, like, the Boulder office that I was just in is the same place I go to whenever I'm there. And, like, whenever I come to Boston, I go to the same office. So it kind of just feels like these places are an extension of my regular work life. Because I'm not, like, experiencing new things while I'm here. I'm just kind of, like, hanging out with my coworkers, going to meetings.
You sounded a little bummed about it a moment ago.
No, I just have cramps.
That blows.
Yeah. I woke up this morning in the middle of a, like, fever dream about being pregnant. And it was because, like, my uterus was going insane and cramping up a lot, and so, like, my subconscious dream state was
must
like, I don't know,
baby.
Something's going on down there. Yeah.
Gotta be a human child.
Yeah, I'm really hitting those years where, like, those primal urges to have a baby are kicking in.
Yeah, that's like a scene from a movie where you would, like, want to highlight the fact that this woman's body is trying to get her to have a baby, and she wakes up from a dream clutching her uterus, and the dream was she had a beautiful child.
Yeah. But really, she's just bleeding. Like normal.
Like every day. Like all the things.
Like, yeah.
Do you feel like working in it remotely has changed how you relate to social spaces now? Or no?
I'm definitely more awkward than I was, I think. I think my social energy drains a lot faster.
I've been feeling that a lot lately.
Really? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, what of it is just getting older, and what of it is me now, like, getting to spend almost 40 hours a week cozied up in my house while I'm working, where everything is exactly how I like it.
There was I saw a thread on the internet today where somebody was like, what are the parts of yourself that you feel like are still a facade and like an act you do, like a different personality you put on? And when somebody responded was like, I work remotely and don't go out that much, and so I feel like anytime I go out, it's a facade, and the only real me is me quiet alone in my house, and all social engagements are some kind of performance. And I was like, yep, I can empathize with that. And I don't even work from home. I got an office, but I don't know. I feel like the more time I spend alone, the more I'm like, any kind of interacting with other people feels like it's fraught.
You're like, hello, human, I put on pants.
Behold,
I'm just like you.
Behold, my normal covered legs, just like you all.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Totally normal. But I don't know, coming to this office is always fun because I really like the people who work up here, and it feels like a second home a little bit.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time in Boston since having this job, so.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, favorite places there now, or you're, like, going to Boston, going to go to this restaurant or whatever?
Yeah, there's this place called the Fox and the Knife, and it's a really nice restaurant. I was sure to go back there the other day. But other than that, no, I have not gotten to know the city. There's, like, a spin studio that I went to a couple times here. Like, I just basically try to duplicate exactly what I do in New York, but here.
It's probably not that hard, actually. I'm not sure what that says about modernity and urban life. Is that you're just like, well, I'll just go to this spin studio and this coffee shop, and everything's basically the same.
Yeah, totally. It's exactly the same in most ways. The people are different. They wear different clothes. The architecture is different.
You feel like there's a notable difference in the clothes people wear in Boston than in New York?
Yes.
Even in not the insane winter months where Boston is uninhabitable?
Yeah. Yeah, you can just tell. I don't know. I think that I realized, like, I'm a little bit of a snotty New Yorker where, like, I think I'm better than everybody just because, like, I survive New York every day. I don't know what that
Interesting.
Is. There's, like, an inherited arrogance from living in New York where you're just kind of like, New York people are better.
But so basically you're saying that people in Boston dress like slobs is what I'm getting from you.
Well, it's not even like slobs. It's like the ways that women dress up here is different. Like, I think that they dress up a
different
little
and
more.
Worse. That's what you're saying.
It's a little more basic. But I think that, like, my friends here who are, like, a part of the LGBTQIA community, they seem to have a better situation figured out here than I've seen in New York. It's
okay.
A really strong gay crowd here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your eyes open out there. You're exploring the world, seeing lots of stuff.
Yeah. I'm about to walk by a falafel king. Don't have that in New York. But
you
I know
don't have
of.
Falafels in New York?
Falafel King. Like, the sign looks like Burger King. Like, they copied it in almost
nice.
Every way, but it says falafel instead of burger.
I kind of love that.
I love that, too.
My high school had a sports team logo, which was just exactly identical to a professional sports team logo, but somebody took it in Photoshop and hue shifted it, and they were like, ta-da!
Wow.
Different logo, which I always
Great.
Thought was very funny.
Yeah.
People's work everyone's work gets stolen all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know you made it.
Yeah.
What
else
are you
is
doing
new,
today?
Linda? What am I doing today? Boof. I was having a normal day. I had a whole list of, like, fun. Well, not fun. I had a list of classic Andy topics to review. But then I just got this fucking email, like,
Uh-oh.
A couple hours ago from this client.
Uh-oh.
And I'm steaming. I'm steaming mad about it.
Why are you steaming without throwing your clients under the bus?
Because, you know, working in consulting has its pros and cons, Linda. But one of the biggest cons for me is that my livelihood depends on these people wanting to hire us more, right?
Right.
No matter what. And I really struggle to swallow my pride and just, like, take it when somebody is just kind of lording their power over us and, you know, just being a dick. And
yeah.
It happens from time to time where somebody just sends an email and they're like, here I am, being a dick. And that's my job, is to be a dick to you so that you work harder or faster, I guess, for no reason. And they just clearly want to, you know, hold their power over somebody. And I just have to be like, thank you very much for your thoughtful email.
Right.
I will.
You have to grin and bear the shit out of it.
Just
like,
take it in stride. And I hate that for so many reasons. Number one, I hate the people are rude and mean for no good reason. That is frustrating. And number
yeah.
two, I don't like people being mean to me because we didn't do anything to deserve it. We're doing good work and, you know, communicating effectively, and we don't deserve to be belittled. But that's just, like, the shallowest level. Why I really don't like it is because of the aforementioned thing where, like, I am structurally, financially motivated to not be like, hey, here's everything wrong with what you just said in this email, mm-hmm. only for the purposes of pointing out to you that the way you're treating us is not appropriate.
Yeah.
I can't say that because if I'm right, this person will just get more offended and, you know, get defensive about it, and we'll get in some big argument whether or not it's okay for them to be rude, which is not productive at all. So instead, I ignore all the things in the email that are completely wrong and mischaracterizing. I'm just like, all right, well, here's the things we can do, and here's when we can do it. So I hate that I am in a situation where I am motivated structurally and financially to do that. And then the worst part, if you trace this all the way to the end, is that because of that, this person is somehow rewarded for their shitty behavior, right? Like, they send a rude email, and we bend over backwards to try and make them not angry anymore, even though their anger is misplaced. And so they, on their side, are like, aha, I got results. See? Sometimes you have to yell at the consultant to get results. And it's like, no, you,
right,
really,
exactly.
You definitely don't. But if I don't treat you in a way where I give you these results now, then, you know, that affects my livelihood and the livelihood of people I employ, and is just, it's pointless for me to be right here. So instead, I will let you think you're right and do what you want, even though I would have done what you wanted, and I would have done it with a smile on my face if you had asked nicely.
Yeah.
Thus, being a jerk is rewarded in another way in society.
Yeah, how do you show them the formula of, like, them getting what they want with a nice email versus a mean email, and how they have the same result, except one just doesn't also result in you now hating them and hoping secretly that they never come back for your business. But knowing that you need it. Ah!
Yep.
When I get emails like that, or messages or whatever, I also, like, fall into this pit of despair around, like, the patriarchy, because I don't
It's
want
always
to
men, Linda.
That it's
men.
A man, but I'm pretty sure it is.
It's always men.
And it's always, like, this, this display of masculinity or something, where I start to stew about it, where I'm just like, ugh, like, I get it, you have a penis.
It's
congrats.
The 21st century version of somebody walking into a meeting, into a boardroom, and, like, yelling at a bunch of people at the top of their lungs.
Right.
Which is, like, that's a very, like, physically and, like, socially dominating position to take. And most people take it out of, inferiority complex, right? It's like, like they're powerless. They can't do this thing. And therefore, they need someone else's help to do it. And if they things don't go exactly the way they want, then their response is only to fly off the handle. And it's extremely tied up in masculinity. This never happens with women. Never, ever, ever. So, it sucks. And it's just like, it's another example of why capitalism is terrible and bad, and why people shouldn't have, like, one idea, social political idea, which I am really against and I'm always trying to talk people down from, is this idea of, like, rugged individualism. Like, even in, like, this idea that you can be a good person and do the right thing at all decision points, and if everybody's just a good person and, you know, a self-driven kind of person, then the whole society will be good for it, right? It doesn't matter what systems are in place as long as people are good. That drives me nuts, because I am in this situation where, I mean, I have all the privilege in the world, right? Like, we could lose this client. I could choose to make this a hill I'm willing to die on and just tell this client to get bent and, you know, take a hike because I didn't like how he talked to us and, like, you know, pull a Mike Montero or whatever. We could afford to do that, right? So it's not like it's literally life or death for us right now. But still, we're in this system where we are rewarded financially for taking this behavior and essentially, like, passing that reward down the line. And so even though I am, like, a kind of a, like, ardent anti-capitalist, I don't like capitalism. I try to push against the forces of capitalism whenever I can. Here is a place where my hands are basically tied, and I can't.
Yeah.
And this person.
Yeah.
And also, like, I try and push against the forces of, like, you know, toxic masculinity, and push against the forces of the patriarchy. And once again, here I am rewarding some, you know, guy for yelling in an email because I have to, because all of the whole system just ties my hands. And that's why you can't talk politically or socially about, like, good people and doing the right things and, like, standing up for your beliefs, because people can't afford to. And this is, like, the most white collar privilege example of that, but that just trickles down to everything.
Right.
These are the complicated feelings I have when I get an email from a grumpy client.
I know. I mean, the same thing happens to me. It's very, very frustrating. On the bright side, this reminds me of the fact that last week we had our leadership meeting in Boulder, and for the first time, we've always been majority female in our leadership team, at least since I joined. I think when I joined, I tipped the scale a little bit, but we've had some team changes recently, but now there were 6 women in this meeting and 2 men. And it was the first time that I've been in a meeting like that with that many women and that few men. And it was totally different. Oh my God. And even though the women and the men who like work at my company, like they're all very sweet. And like the men who have worked here, like they're not like, you know, yelling at each other or anything like that.
They're over but in the just, corner sharpening rocks and getting in fist fights, as all men do.
Always. But yeah, there was just like a general, like really good tone in the room. Like it felt like we were talking about like really tricky stuff and planning for 2020. And we have a budget to maintain while we, all of us are kind of like vetting for our teams to hire the people that we need to hire. So there's like some negotiating going on, but never did it feel like I had to like, you know, put on my armor and stand up and make a demonstrated display of
dominance. Yeah, put on your masculinity, because it wasn't a space right. where that was the only thing that was respected. And there are so many spaces left where that is still the case. And yeah. people don't recognize it, where it's like, oh, there's a bunch of women here, but all these women are also forced to, you know, behave in a sort of masculine, patriarchal way in order to command respect, because the fundamental yeah. temperature of the room hasn't changed. So it's great that you're in a space where that's not the case, where
yeah.
the temperature of the room has changed, as it were.
Yeah, and I think that like as our culture changes, we're starting to see more and more displays of female leadership and like what these capitalist companies can look like without that super toxic masculine energy in the room. It's just so, I don't know, it just felt so nice.
That sounds great.
I was, yeah, it just, I realized like, oh, in the past, whenever I go to these things, I'm like gearing up, you know, like I am making sure I'm like fully charged and ready to be on the defense whenever I need to. And like, yeah, it just feels like less of a safe space. And it's hard to really even explain that to somebody who's not seen it from the other side. Because I think that, like, right. this is the first time I've been in this situation where the scales were tipped that hard towards females. And in the past, I've just been like, I don't know, this is what it is. It's business. Like, I just assumed, like, this is what it's like once you're in business. It's going to feel tense. And you're going to feel like...
Look, you just
everyone's...
have to be mean to people if you're in charge of something. That's the rule.
But I'm sorry that your client was mean to you.
It's fine. It emotionally affects me more than it should, especially considering... Really, what affects me is all of the bigger stuff. Just feeling like I am a boat being pushed around by the seas of capital, and I have no recourse other than to intentionally... harm my my chances of making more money in the future. It's a thing.
Gotta play the game.
Gotta play the game.
Oh, hello, good boy.
This Ooh, is there a good boy?
Good boy.
Ooh, good boy.
Yeah. He just looked right into my eyes.
Now, do you address dogs on the street when you pass them loudly enough for their owner to hear? And if so, do you feel okay addressing a dog and not addressing the owner?
Yes and yes.
Yeah, I do this too. Is it wrong? Are we wrong? Are we on the wrong side of history on this?
No. When I was a dog owner with a couple doggies, I actually really liked it. I liked that the dogs became this buffer to like sort of have a human interaction. Like, I like dreaming that there is this Leave It to Beaver way of life out there still, where like you can have a nice little neighborhood where everyone knows everyone's name and they says hello when they pass on the street. But it's not like that, you know? Like, I think it would
That's
be
my
cool
neighborhood's
if it were
like
that.
It's great.
Well, you live in, like, fantasy land.
It's kind of true. It's a great neighborhood.
But anyways, yeah, like, so that was the way that I got to know my neighbors. I feel like it's, like, a first step, because you would, like, my dog would go up and meet their dog, and you'd just, like, ask what the dog's name is, and then, like, three greetings later you're like, oh wait, what's your name, person who is attached to the dog? And then you don't really remember it, but that's fine. Yeah,
I'm
anyways,
so bad with names
I
in general
it.
I've realized that I just like, I'll ask someone's name in a lot of situations because it's like a socially accepted thing to do, and then I just won't even listen to what they say. Like,
I know
I rarely go to the weekend workouts at the gym because it's not my normal crew, but I went to one on Saturday because I missed some other days last week, and I was working out on a team workout with this guy I'd never met before, and I was like, hey, Mandy, what's your name? He told me, and I literally forgot immediately. And then it was like, well, I don't know what his name is, so I can't call him by his name. So you get it.
Hey,
you get a guy. Do those weight lifts.
Do those pumps.
Yeah, my thing is I'll just say hi, puppy, to every puppy I see from my bike while walking past them. And, you know, we've talked about East Coast emotional distance. I don't think it's appropriate to engage with strangers on the sidewalk, especially me as a man. I'm not going to go start talking to, like, women that I see walking their dog. But I feel like it's okay to be like, hi, puppy, and just look at the puppy.
Yeah.
Let the person have their space. Don't even, you know, don't engage. But maybe
I do
we're
that
wrong.
All the
maybe
time.
Maybe it's rude. I'm not sure.
Yeah, when I was in Boulder, my boss has a Briard. They are these dogs giant, and they're super huge, and they look like Muppets. And we went on like a nature walk through this creek area that goes through Boulder. And while we were doing it, I was really impressed with how loudly he called out to strange dogs, and was just like,
you were
what a good dog!
Actually impressed.
Like, I was like, because I think that my decibels were, like, maybe a few points lower than his when I reach out to a dog I don't know. Like, I'll kind of do it, like, within the vicinity, but it's like, they might or might not hear me when I'm like, oh, what a good boy, you know?
They might hear you, but be like, was that directed at my good boy? And they wouldn't know.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly. But he was very, like, your dog is a very good boy, you know?
You there! Look at your dog. What a good boy he is.
And I was like, respect. I got respect for that. That's
There's
great.
This beautiful, chunky, like, gray-brown, like, elderly pit bull on our block near our office, not by my house. And one time I was out, and I think the dog was being walked by a dog walker because the person was like, oh, you know, said something to that effect and made me think it was a dog walker. It's not the person I normally see them with either. And I met the dog on that day, and the dog was adorable, and I loved him, and she was so great. And then I see the dog other times with its owner, who I have never met before, and I feel like we have a secret. We have a secret, like a secret affair. Like, I can't walk up and be like, I know your dog. That would be weird, because I don't really.
Right.
But also, I want to pet that nice dog again.
Yeah.
But that one just got... The owner has a much more closed-off energy. It makes me feel like I shouldn't approach, whereas the dog walker, I feel like, had an open energy.
Yeah, when I was telling my boss, like, that I was thinking about getting a dog and maybe even one like his, and he was like, one of the things that people don't talk about enough when you go to get a dog, especially one that, like, looks very distinct, is that you really need to be ready to answer strangers' dumb questions on the street. Like, people
are going
to approach
you. Like,
is that a dog? Yeah. And they'll, like, ask you what breed it is, and he's like, over and over and over again, people are going to ask you if they can pet the dog, what breed
it is.
Well,
that's not a dumb question. You have to ask before you pet a strange dog.
That's true. But I think that it's more, he was saying, you know, there's a lot of, if you don't want the attention, there's going to be a lot of unwanted attention.
Yeah, he was saying, buckle up for stranger talk.
Yep, buckle on up. It's about to go down, and I think he does not love the stranger talk on his end. He's probably like, you can talk to my dog, but just don't talk to me about my dog.
This is the one that was loudly catcalling dogs, though, right?
Yeah, but gotcha. he was not making eye contact with the owners.
Gotcha. So he was living by his rules.
He was not speaking to them. Yeah.
Engaging with the dogs.
Engage with the dogs. That
the safe, trustworthy companions.
Yeah, man, I'm walking by some people who are dressed up like it's, like, colonial times.
I guess you're right. People do dress differently in Boston. That's something.
He looks like a pirate.
Like a tricorn hat situation?
Yeah.
Is there a reenactment going on? What's the deal?
There's a group of people standing around him. He seems to have a flask, like a really big canteen flasky thing on him. I don't know what's going on. Boston's crazy.
Boston, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, man?
What are you going to do, Boston?
Yeah.
What else is new, Linda?
Let's see. I don't know. It's kind of it. I'm just traveling around a lot. I can't wait to see my grandparents this weekend. It's their wedding anniversary. I don't know how many years, but it's getting up there.
Enough.
Yeah. Like 60 years.
Wow. That's something.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine. But then again, I just time keeps passing. It goes by quickly.
Yeah. What I'm really excited about is the other day I FaceTimed my grandma, and she said, "Oh, I'm just coming back from my coffee shop." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool. I didn't know you had a coffee shop in your neighborhood." And she was like, "Well, by a coffee shop, I mean so-and-so down at the lake. They open up their house every weekday for all the neighbors to come by and sit on the porch and have coffee."
Awesome.
And then she showed me her mug, and it had her name on it. It said Adrian. And she was like, she said, "I normally she said, "I normally leave my mug there, but I brought it home this time so that I could wash it the way I like." And, because it's such a small town. It's so small that, like, in the past, the person who works at the post office would have to leave early. And so my grandma's like, "Oh, I just walked up for him and cleaned up and took the trash out." Like, for the post office.
I feel like I was born to be retired. I feel like I'll be so good at it when retirement comes. Some people are like, I have to work. I don't know what I'll do. I'm like, I know exactly what I'll do. I'll do a bunch of, like, adorable retired shit like that, and it'll be awesome.
I think you would genuinely get a huge kick out of their town.
I'm sure I would.
Just the level of neighborliness. Like, there's this one old lady whose house we always go to for tea, and then there's one guy who has all these old cars in his garage, and me and my grandpa go and poke around at the cars. And
this sounds like an idyllic situation.
Yeah, it is very sweet and very small.
And, we went to a couple weekends ago. It was super hot down in Baltimore, and we had a tip from a friend who had a sort of a lead on a cool swimming hole.
Ooh.
So we ducked out of the city, just the four of us, Hillary and I and these friends, and went to the swimming hole. And it's like you drive, and then you get to some park, and then you park in some weird parking lot next to a hair salon, and you walk down some trail for a little while. But we did, in fact, find this incredible swimming hole, and it was like, you know, 95 degrees on a July or August day, and there was no one there, which was impressive.
Whoa, yeah.
But it's like under this bridge, and it's in this really cold, like, river, and it was this perfect little situation where it was like rocks to skip and cairns to build and all kinds of, like, perfect stuff. Very just perfect, idyllic things. And it was right next to, in the middle of the woods in this park, there is an old, like, First National Bank building, like a stone building. It looks like a miniature bank. Like, it's a style of a bank, but it's not very big. And it turns out this, like, used to be a little, I don't know, town of some kind, mining town, logging town, who knows what kind of town it was. But there's not many people live there anymore, and so now it's, like, right next to / in this park. And we're like, oh, cool old building. Like, I wonder what it is now. Is it still a bank, or is it just a historical monument or whatever? And we're also in the swimming hole for a little while. And then this old retired woman comes out of the bank because she lives there. She lives in this old bank. And she comes and she's dressed in, like, you know, full clothes, but it's like workout clothes. And she comes and wades into the river in her full clothes and swims around the swimming hole for a while. And is like, yeah, it's so nice. I come out here every day and do this. And I was like, damn.
Wow.
You got life figured out. This is sick.
Yeah.
And she just went back in her bank house.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was very cool. And the swimming hole is A+.
Did I tell you about the neighborhood that my sister just moved to?
You did not. And I love
it's in Georgia. Yeah, it's in Georgia, and you should look it up. It's called Serenbe. That's Serenbe. And it's, like, in the middle of nowhere, Georgia. But they have, like, a sustainable farm there, and there are horses and chickens and goats and all kinds of animals and stuff. And it's just, like, this little liberal oasis.
Now, I'm looking at pictures, and it is charming as hell.
Yeah, so they just bought a house there, and I'm going to go visit in a few weeks, but this is the first time that my sister's lived in a community where you can, like, walk to the gym and walk to the coffee shop, and it's just, like, a little small town. Like, they have, like, restaurants and stuff in there, but everything is, like, serving what's grown on the farm that's there, and just so wholesome and sweet, and I can't wait to go. I've been there a couple times, but I've never, like, stayed there, so I can't wait to go check out my sister's new house. It's very tempting to, like, I want to get a place there or something someday.
This is, I'm looking on the Wikipedia page now for this neighborhood, and it says, the village comprises three hamlets. The Selborne Hamlet is devoted to the visual and culinary arts and currently contains retail shops. The Grange Hamlet has an agricultural theme, and the Motto Hamlet focuses on health and healing. What?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
It's got hamlets? Yeah. What?
It's got hamlets.
It's got a hamlet dedicated to the visual and culinary arts? What?
Yeah. And so she put my niece in the summer camp that's there. And, like, also, just keep in mind, this sounds incredibly bougie, but, like, her mortgage payment is still just, like, basically what I'm paying in New York City rent.
Right. Well, you can't compare New York to anywhere.
Yeah.
In the...
Yeah, so it's still quite reasonable. But yeah, she was like, oh my God, we just dropped Carson off at the summer camp that's there. And the guy from Dawson's Creek, he...
Dawson?
Yeah, Dawson. Like, his kid is in her preschool, and so is, like,
Dawson
one of the guys
Jr.
from the, like, one of the guys from The Walking Dead has his kid there. Like, I guess they were just, like, doing so much shooting in that part of Georgia that they, like, a few of those people just, like, moved there permanently. But yeah, it's a very strange place, but I like that it exists.
It sounds very special.
Yeah.
Yep, you should do it. Buy a place there. Why not?
Okay, cool. I'll do it.
And it reminds me a little bit. It's bigger, but it reminds me a little bit of a neighborhood in Baltimore called Dickeyville, which is like this little mill town that is technically within the city limits of Baltimore, but it's like basically as far west as you can go and still be in the city limits, and it's just right on the cusp of a big park. And there's like one road into Dickeyville, and that's the only road into Dickeyville. And then there's this little tiny, like, group of, I don't know, maybe like 40 old stone houses that does not feel 1% like you are in any kind of city. It feels like you are in a little English town in, like, northern England.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting place. And if it was bikeable to the inner city, I would probably look to try to buy a house there. But
yeah,
it's not. So I got the next best thing, which is similar.
Bummer.
But anyway.
Nice
neighborhoods.
But yeah. Oh, and it's like one of these little golf cart neighborhoods too. So when I go, I'm gonna have a little golf cart and you can zip around, and there's like a little waterfall you can hike to. Oh.
Yeah, that's too good to be true. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, like I'm worried my niece isn't gonna have any character when she grows up.
I do think about that, not in regards to your niece, but in regards to myself. I remember first time I went to Portland, I was like, okay, I'll probably like this place. It caters to all the things that I like and care about. I'm into food. I'm into sustainable living. I'm into bicycling. I play a lot of board games. Like, I'm basically a Portland person, essentially. And I went there and I was like, yes, this does cater to everything that I care about, but also I hate it because it is pandering to me and I don't want to be pandered to. I want some friction in my life. And I can't have everything be so nice and catered to my values, because I need something to rub up against, you know?
You do. I like that friction. That's why I like the East Coast.
At least I need it. I don't know if everyone does, but I think it's important for me.
Andy, are you going to go to XOXO, or are you still deciding?
I know I owe you an answer. I'm still hemming and hawing. We'll see.
It's okay.
Plane tickets are getting more and more expensive, but basically I'm waiting to see if my emotional life settles down enough that I feel like I will not be a wreck for taking another trip somewhere because of all the traveling and things I've been doing this summer. It's been a wild summer, so.
Yeah, well, your good friend Linda will be there.
I know. That is the biggest draw, is my good friend Linda.
The whole podcast. We could do a live episode.
I would definitely force you to do a live episode, for sure. There'd be no way around that, so. We will see.
Great.
We will see. But in the meantime, Linda, I have to tell you that we have a, like, gold-tier sponsor for this episode of Earth to Live.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
why
gold-tier for a couple reasons. One, this person is a listener from Japan, which I think is great and very cool. Where, again, we've talked. Small podcast family here. You know, we got a few listeners, but high-quality listeners. And this particular listener also gave us $20, which is five times the amount required to get an episode in your honor. So we might come back and thank him again in the future, or we might just give him this big gold tier thank you now. Either way, this episode is brought to you by Howard Yu. Howard, Thank you so much.
Howard, you are amazing.
That was a gimme, Linda.
I mean, come on, I had to.
You could have done a little better than that. For $20?
Howard, I wonder if Howard knows about Hungry Howie's.
What is that?
Pizza. It's a pizza chain in the South.
Well, Howard lives in Japan, so far not a great... chances not looking great.
So Hungry Howie's has this really cool mascot. It's like this kid eating pizza, but it's like a cool illustration of a kid. And if Howard got his hands on one of those t-shirts or something, that'd be amazing. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to see if they exist.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Howard. If you want to sponsor an episode of Earth to Linda, you can send me $4 or more. We'll take more money. And send it to me through Cash App or PayPal or Apple Pay. Guess my phone number. You can probably figure it out.
Yeah.
Just to figure out how to give me the money. I bet you can do it.
Yeah, thank you. My goodness.
Anyway.
I'm going to go to the movies now.
That's been Earth to Linda. What movie are you seeing?
The Farewell.
Haven't even heard of it. I look forward to Linda's Movie Corner on the next episode.
Yeah. Bye, Andy.
Goodbye, Linda.